Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And with this particular episode, I'm going to kick it off with a bunch of questions and an email if I can find it. But Nick Wetmore had sent a slew of questions, and the last time that I asked for questions, I got so many I wanted to group all of Nick's together. So Nick Wetmore from Nerdy Legion sent me a list, and that's what we're going to be talking about real quick. Nick's first question was, I miss First Comics. What brought you into collecting that publisher? This is interesting because I never told him I collected that publisher, at least to my knowledge. Matter of fact, I don't own much from that publisher, to be honest. What I do own, or what got me into Harley, what got me into First Comics way late. God, it must have been when podcasting first started. I don't know, it was about 2005 or 2004. I bought some John Sables, and that is what I love is John Sable. That is my series, John Sable Freelance. That is where I need to go, which is the Mike Grell stuff. Matter of fact, there was supposedly a TV show based on John Sable, and it was Mike Grell. I don't know if it had like four episodes. It didn't make it very far. And Gene Simmons was supposed to be in the pilot, and I guess things didn't quite work out. But if I could get a hold of that, I'd sure like to watch it because John Sable is a comic book that I've always loved. The only other things that I've gotten from First are E-Man, which is the original E-Man, and E-Man came from Kamiko too. I have a full run of Howard Chaykin's American Flag, but I'm not well versed in American Flag, so even though I have the full run, I haven't read it all. I've read like the first five issues, so I'm not a completist on. Even though I have the complete run, I haven't read it all, so don't let me fool you. So I can't put American Flag as one of my top because John Sable I have read a lot more of. What else would I have gotten from them? The only other thing that I can think of is their sci-fi book Mars. I have a few of those issues. And I think that's it. That could be it. I have a couple issues of Warp. But some of the titles that they've had is Alter Ego, American Flag, Badger. I do have Badger, but in trade. IDW collected a lot of the Badger stuff, and trying to think of who did Badger. Mike Baron. The way I found out about Badger was from Derek Coward, and I went to one of his panels like a long time ago at Denver Comic Con or one of those cons. No, it wasn't even Denver Comic Con before they got big. There used to be a science fiction convention. Well, there still is a science convention at in Denver, and they had a small con attachment to that called Comic Con, like Denver. I don't know what it was called. It was just a little. I have two T-shirts of it. I can't even think of the name of it, but it was like really small. But that's like where I got pictures of with Amy Reeder and Fiona Staples before they were big. Like Fiona Staples at that time was doing some Wildstorm, so this was way early before she hit it real big. And Amy Reeder, I think, was just starting on Madame Xanadu for Vertigo, so this is how long ago that was. And they had a lot of guests, and I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, Mike, I went to a Mike Baron panel and found out about Badger and did pick up. I don't think I have any Badger single issues, but I did pick up a couple of trades from IDW on Badger. They had Beauty and the Beast, Night of the Beauty, Beauty and the Beast Portal of Love, Beowulf, Betty Boop's Big Break, Chaos, Prince of Madness, The Chronicles of Corum, Classic Illustrated, Corum, The Bull and the Spear, Crossroads. That sounds familiar. I may have one of those. Demon Knight, A Grimjack Graphic Novel. Oh, I have Grimjack. How could I forget Grimjack? Elric, several Elric titles. E-Man, which I've talked about. Evangeline. I do have almost a full run of E-Man. That's a weird title. First Adventures, First Edition, First Graphic Novel, First Six-Pack. Ghostbusters, Grimjack, Grimjack Case Files, Hammer of God, Hawkmoor, a bunch of different Hawkmoor series, Hexbreak, John Sable, of course, Lives, Lone Wolf and Cub, Mars, Mazinger, Metaphor, Mudin's Bar. I think in Mudin's Bar, I've seen some covers for that, and I think Dave Stevens had done one. Next Nexus, Nexus Legends, Night Stalker, Original E-Man, PIs, the Michael Mauser and Miss Tree. Ah, interesting. Miss Tree. I like Miss Tree. Psychoblast, Sable, Sable, Mike Grell, Sable, Sensei, Shatter, Shatter Volume 1, Volume 2, Squalor, Team Yankee, Twilight Man, Warp, Whisper, and Zero Tolerance. So, of those, the popular ones that I know about and that I own are Grimjack, John Sable, American Flag, Badger, and Sable. I don't own any Sable, the Sable itself. I think those are the big titles. So I'd be curious what Nick is hot about. I know he likes probably John Sable. I'd be curious to see what his book is here that he loves. So that was a good question. And I don't own much. I own John's. I need to finish my John Sable run. I think I have like 1 through 24, and I need to finish that. And I do have Ashes of Eden, which was when he came back and Mike Grell did it for IDW. There's a 5-issue run there. There's John Sable Freelance Blood Trail. I don't own this. I gotta track it down. This is from 2005. That's the IDW series as well. And Sable was critically acclaimed, I thought. Well, Sable, the John's... Oh, this is interesting. This is a different Sable. Although the name is changed from John Sable Freelance to simply Sable... It is Mike Grell's character, but the writer is Marv Wolfman. So this is very interesting. I need to seek this out. That's interesting. And then you got Sable Mike Grell's. So that was 1990. Wow, did he not do? Okay, so 1988 Sable came out, and I don't own this one. But I gotta find out when John Sable came out. I'm really curious. Yeah, that was 1983. So this was like a. Wow, they ran a long time. 83 through 1988. First was around for quite a while. That's interesting. Fascinating. Huh. So that was a good question. What is your ultimate Justice Society roll call? Justice Society of America. Well, you got to have Hawkman in there, that for sure. You got to have Hourman. You got to have Dr. Midnight. You got to have Wildcat. You got to have Flash. You got to have Green Lantern. You got to have Golden Age Wonder Woman. You got to have Johnny Thunder. Gotta have Starman. I'm just spewing these out of my head here, so I might miss somebody big. And then I'd like to throw in like the other generation, Stargirl. I'd like Shazam to be in there like there wasn't the JSA, Joaquin Thunder. I like when they have that next generation. I would even throw like Liberty Bell in there, Even though she's more of an all-star squadron. Who else would I love to see there? I think it would be interesting to have the Golden Age Batman and Superman like they had back in the day, where Superman had the little white patches of hair on the sideburns, and Batman. I think if they explored more of those versions, it would be pretty doggone interesting. You got to have Power Girl in there for sure. Huntress would be another great one. I just like the entire cast. Just throw them all in there. Sandman, of course. Gotta have Sandman. And man, there is a lot. Dr. Fate. I miss Dr. Fate. You gotta have Dr. Fate. You gotta have Red Tornado, Ma Kettle, or whatever her name is, with the pot over her head, just for some humor. Man, there's gotta be a lot that I'm missing, but I like all of the Justice Society of America. And I like when they threw in like Commander Steel and Steel. Oh man, I love the way they, like every movement was painful for him. Ah, oh, that was so great. I would even throw like the other Wildcat, the female one, in there. Maybe she could be learning from Wildcat, Yolanda or whatever her name is. You could have the Atom and Nuke, because Nuke's the, what is it, the grandson of Adam? I can't remember. Obsidian. Why not? Why not throw in some of the Infinity Ink in there? Yeah, lots of good stuff. Next question. Not including the Trinity, what would be your ultimate Justice League role? What would be your ultimate Justice League role? Like roll call? Okay, the Trinity is Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. So that's tough, because I always like Martian Manhunter, I think, needs to be there, because he's like, for so long, he's been like the guy that grounds the Justice League. Like he was around when the other Trinity wasn't around. I actually like the Justice League Detroit years. You throw in Steel. I love Steel. I love it. So you put him in the Justice League with Martian Manhunter. Captain Atom, I think, would be fantastic to have in there. I couldn't put in Firestorm or Captain Atom, because to me they're so similar. But Firestorm, one of the other, Captain Atom or Firestorm, would be great. I don't think I'd go with Booster or Beetle, because I think they'd be better in their own title. I'd throw in Black Canary. Gotta have a female. Hawk Girl. Would be my super, if I couldn't have Superman, who would be my, well, I guess you got Martian Manhunter, so Martian Manhunter will be the Superman. You could throw in Aquaman. Instead of I mean, they've experimented with this in one of the runs, James Robinson. You could throw in Nightwing and Donna Troy. And sort of have them play off of like the next legacy of the JLA. That wasn't a successful run, but they had Supergirl in it. They had Nightwing. They had Donna Troy. I can't remember if Flash was in it, Wally. It was like, what if the Titans became the Justice League? And then you had the years when Kangorilla and all them were in it. Starman, the blue skin Starman. That's when he was playing with the first issue special DC characters. And James Robinson loves that comic. Like if you go look at first issue DC, it was like a 70s comic, and you see all the characters that James Robinson played around with when he was at DC, like even in the Superman run, he brought Atlas and a bunch of other ones, Codename Assassin. He was like picking and choosing from that title, you know, bringing back stuff. So yeah, that'd be a good. You gotta have Hawkman again in the Justice League. Elongated Man. Oh man, I'd love to see him. The satellite era, you know, Hawkman, Hawk Girl, Elongated Man, Green Arrow, Black Canary, the Atom. I love the satellite era. That was a great Zatanna. God, those are good comics. So the next question is very intimate. It says, are you and Barb making it? Yes, we do make it. But I think what he's saying is, do we watch the show Making It? And I've watched parts. It's one of those things I watch from the corner of my eye, and it's interesting, but I didn't really get into it. I like who won the series, because he's the guy I picked at the very beginning as being real creative. Like, me and Barb always play the game of who do you think's gonna win based on like the first episode, and I picked him because after two episodes I kind of saw him, like how his creative process went, and I was like, I think he's gonna win this because he adapts well to the situation and can create whatever they ask of him. I still want to wear every cover of Famous Monsters on my shirts. The Famous Monsters is a magazine. I actually don't own any of them, but I'm aware of what they are. Have you ever read Charles Wilford's Cockfighter? It would be a fab noir comic, and I think what he's getting at is like a crime noir comic for a hard case crime from Titan. I think he's even asked them if they're coming back. You know, coming with one of his series in comic form. The latest one they're doing is Mike Hammer, and I don't know what's coming after that. I haven't heard anything announced. Hopefully they keep they I hope they at least keep one in the queue like all times, you know. 'Cause I love the hard case crime books. Who is your favorite Wildcats character and why? Grifter, that's easy. He's just iconically the cool one, and you can do so much with him. Zealot's pretty cool. Void was the guy. Imp. I mean, there's a lot of cool characters. The one that I always would like, and the one that I think is good as a solo hero too, is Grifter. He's got the coolest costume too of the Wildcats, in my opinion. Just having that scarf looking thing right over his face. I know Magnus is your favorite robot fighter, but who's your favorite three androids or robot characters? Well, Vision's gotta be in there. Red Tornado. And let's go with the original Human Torch. Those are my three favorite android characters. What do you think about Dwayne Johnson maybe starring as Doc Savage? I think he's got the skin tone pretty good. I think he'd be good. He's a pretty diverse actor. He can do a lot. And I would be interested on who they cast as, you know, his band of merry men, because Doc Savage, just like the Shadow, they have agents that work for him, so it could be really interesting. What is your favorite metal lunchbox? Mine was the Universal Movie Monsters. I had a Spider-Man one, but I can't remember what it was. And I had a Star Wars one. I'd go with the Star Wars one as being my favorite. And it was like first generation. It had to have come out like 1978 or 79 when I had that lunchbox, and I wore it. At those things would rust. if you used them a lot, not cram food in there all the time, take it to lunch. That's when I actually took lunch. I remember taking lunch a lot in elementary school, and then when I got to middle school, it was more like eat at the cafeteria. But that's when I would take a lunch box, was elementary school. I don't own any of those lunch boxes. I have seen a lot of retro remakes of lunch boxes. We go downtown and they have like pop culture places. I've seen these like lunch boxes and they look pretty awesome. Are you Mad or Cracked magazine fan? This is a cool question because I'm neither. I went with Crazy magazine. My parents bought me a subscription to Crazy. Crazy was like Mad and like Cracked, except it was published by Marvel Comics. So I had a lot of Crazy magazines. Since the Toys That Made Us is so rad, what episodes would you like to see next season? I would love to see a Superpowers. Those little figures that are like about the size of Star, they're a little bigger than Star Wars. They had the Superpowers collection, and Jack Kirby designed a lot of the collection. They actually had the Superpowers comic books, several volumes of it come out. And I have a lot of the first generation, second generation, third generation, but there's a lot of obscure characters that I don't have. Like, I never got a Mr. Miracle, I never got a Cyborg. Which other ones am I missing? Oh, Golden Pharaoh. They started throwing in some other characters. I think those are the major ones that I was missing, but everything else I pretty much have. And I would love to see like DC superhero type toys, or Mego, even though they kind of touch on Mego a little bit in the Star Trek one. I would love to just have a Mego special, like all their licensed properties. I'd love to see that. They've already done Star Wars. What other? Battlestar Galactica would be fun, but there's not much to go off of. So I don't think they could like make a story about the Battlestar Galactica toys, but I'd love it. Maybe just like an obscure one where they go over the Buck Rogers toys, the Battlestar Galactic toys, like the toys that had a cult following but weren't popular. I'd love to see that, where you'd see like Rum the Space Knight, Battlestar Galactica toys, Buck Rogers, the Clash of the Titans toys, you know, things that you wanted to grow but didn't hit off that well. Those would be fun. And he says, "Have you ever watched Toy Hunter?" Yes, I watched every single episode of it. I even know it was staged because we had a friend, Super Ugly. He was on a show, and he actually told me they planted something to make his collection a little more interesting. I can't remember if it was the Chips dolls. I can't remember what it was, but it's still fun, whether something's planted or not, to see all these toys like that people have. It's really cool. Which power ability set would you like to have? The $6 million man or the $6 million woman or the bionic woman is what he means. They both have arms, they both have legs. One has an ear, one has an eye. Personally, I would go with the ear because I'm going deaf and I'd really like to hear better. Just have normal sight because I could always get glasses to improve, but you can't really fix an ear. Especially if you can't hear certain tones. So I would go with the Bionic Woman's power sets. Which would you want to live in, a water world or Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? I would definitely want to do a Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome world because I would be scared of drowning in a water type world scenario where sharks and everything's in the water. It would be rough. What is the best Mister in comics? Well, you got Mr. Miracle, of course. There's Mr. E. He's also a DC character. I can't think of any other Mister, but Mr. Miracle's definitely the best. by far. Such a cool costume. And I've always loved the idea of Houdini. I've always loved it. And Mr. Miracle is kind of like the Houdini of superheroes. So, yeah, Mr. Miracle's the best. So that wraps up those questions. And then I'm gonna talk a little bit. I probably won't get to the actual question, but if I could get to my mail, I received a cool email. And I don't get emails that often, and I like when I get emails if I can find it. So stand by me because I have to log on. If I can get to it. Because I haven't been good about cleaning my email, which means I have a lot. But I'm going to see if I can find it. Especially, it's cleared like so much about Kickstarters lately. Because I've been buying a lot of Kickstarters. More. I am looking. Hopefully, I can find it. Where's the next older email? I'll just save it for next time because I have to go look for it. And I have been buying a shit ton of Kickstarters, so my email is just covered with Kickstarters. And well, let's see. Maybe if I page through a page or two, I will be able to find it. I don't think I'm going to be able to. Not for this episode. Ill prepared. Yep, I'll have to save it for next episode. But it was a very complimentary email. And I can't remember the name of the gentleman that sent it. Ooh, the Kickstarter survey. And I didn't send it. Well, that's not good, because they threaten you on Kickstarter now if you don't fill this shit out. But we'll get to that later, and I'll be back with Mike M's Weekly Reads. And maybe by the time I get back, I'll find the email, so I'll be able to read it. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye. I did find the email, so I am back. And it was an email on episode 101 of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And he said, "It's Ken here of Heroic Times. I really enjoyed the most recent episode, especially your selection of five favorite military comics." That was a question I think was from Nick Wetmore. It was either from him or Kirk. And Ken, if you haven't heard the latest Mike M's Collector's Corner, you might want to check that out because we talked a lot about military comics. Not in depth, but kind of covered a lot because we were all over the place. But we might have a more focused military comic discussion at some point. And we'll see how that goes. As a kid, our library held comic book days, and a bunch would go after school, and we'd go pick up a few comic books each week from the librarian's comic book box and swap and trade books. This is exactly what I did as a kid. We would swap and trade books. If we bought them, we would trade them. You'd read them. What it gave you was a lot more comic books to read. Because in my neighborhood, we didn't have a lot of money. So 20 cents a comic book, you were lucky to get 20 cents and go get a comic book. 25 cents to pay tax or whatever. I remember the Western and military comics were always the one no kid wanted, which is funny. That's interesting because in my neighborhood, everybody wanted Sergeant Rock or GI Combat. And I think it's because we used to play war and stuff like that. But you say, which is funny because lately, as an adult, far removed from that kid of yesteryear, I've become a huge fan of both genres, Marvel's Westerns and DC's military comics. I think they're great. I think we need more of them. I think we need something in World War II on the DC lineup, even if they give us a mini series. I would love to see something like Men of War, okay, like this anthology that came out quarterly, and we'd have like a Sergeant Rock in there, we'd have an enemy ace, we'd have the Haunted Tank, Unknown Soldier, the Losers, just a rotating cast of Marvel, DC war heroes. I think it'd be fantastic. Mademoiselle Marie, any of that stuff would be absolutely wonderful. The other thing is if they could do something with the Western, like Western, who, when you think DC Comics, you think Jonah Hex. The two characters that I think of is Jonah Hex and Scalp Hunter, because that's when I was reading it in the 70s. I did just recently complete all of my Jonah Hex, all of my Jonah Hex All-Star Western. I even have his first appearance. I don't have all the All-Star Western original stuff though. There's a lot of like Powwow Smith. There's a lot of other characters that you could explore. On the Marvel side, you mentioned Marvel Westerns. I am very illiterate on Marvel Western. It would be something that the only Western that I've read is Red Wolf, and Red Wolf started off in the West and then he came into contemporary and showed up in the Avengers and such. But he's the only character that I have as a comic book. I don't think I have. I don't. The Rawhide Kid, that's a Marvel character. Matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to All Star Western and see more of the DC slew of characters. So, yeah, I already mentioned Powwow Smith. Let's see if we. The Outlaw, El Diablo, I forgot about him. Yeah, it's pretty much Outlaw and El Diablo. And then you get Jonah Hex and all hell breaks loose because he was the most popular. Buffalo Bill, Batlash. Okay, that's the other one that I couldn't remember. The DC. So I would say Batlash was. Matter of fact, I think Batlash actually showed up a couple times in the Jonah Hex series that Palmiotti and Gray did. So, yeah. It's something definitely for me to explore more of. Because Jonah Hex is the man to me, it's Westerns, but the Marvel ones I haven't explored at all for the most part, except for Red Wolf. Be something very interesting to tackle. Thanks for mentioning it. You also said you've become a huge fan of Kanigher as a writer. Yeah, Kanigher can write comics is awesome. Like he, that's who I think of when I think war comics, mostly Robert Kanigher, and I think of Kubert on the art. It just goes hands in hands. Kubert, Sergeant Rock covers. He did a lot of covers. There's even some Kirby losers. So he had some Jack Kirby do stuff. And the thing that Jack Kirby did in the Losers comic that was pretty interesting is he'd like draw the actual transportation tanks and stuff like that from different, like a from different the American ones, the German ones, the Italian stuff. He'd draw it up in the back of the Losers, and they talk about he'd talk about the details of the actual tank or carrier or whatever it was. It's pretty neat. Says you listed your five military titles, all of which I have started buying issues of. Can you list five issues or storylines? I can't, not without going over the covers and telling you which ones I like. I'd have to go to my database and look it up. But it's something that I definitely can. I mean, can you follow it up with what are your favorite military combat covers? This, I wish I would have brought this up when me and Kirk recorded because we could have tackled this question together and he could have helped me remember some of these things. He is more of an expert in remembering names and like covers and stuff than I am because I read so much comics that I'm not real good with issue numbers or stuff like that. I'm good with history, but I'm not good with pinpointing where it happened. Maybe within the decade I can. But you said some of your favorite are our fighting forces at war with the losers. And then you said they are masterpieces of cover design. It runs from issue 123 to 144. I don't own too many Our Forces at War. Matter of fact, I own a few losers books, but most of what I own of the losers is in the Jack Kirby Losers Omnibus. So I have a few of them. I've been filling in some of the Jack Kirby stuff, but I think you're talking about the stuff. There, matter of fact, I think in that our forces at war, Gravedigger showed up. Like Gravedigger was a military character you don't hear about too much. And then we had G.I. Robot and a lot of other things. The Creature Commandos. There was a lot of stuff going on. Really popular back. It must have been really popular because they had so many titles at that time. In the 70s. So I want to thank you for the great email. And you say keep up the great work. I will. I'll try to think of some covers for you on an upcoming episode that we could talk about some military comics. And the Ken is from Heroic Times, so check that out. And I really appreciate the email. So thank you, Ken. And we'll be back in a bit. With the weekly reads. Welcome back to the Mike M's Weekly Reads, and this is the second part where I talk about the weekly reads. And these were the weekly reads for January 30th, 2018 through February 4th of 2018. Very consistent the last couple weeks. Some of this stuff is very fascinating to see what I've done in the past because I don't exactly remember. But had a total of 20 comics. There were 4 Marvel, 4 Image, 7 DC, 3 Boom, and 2 Archie. I think you could really tell like when I'm prepping for a geek brunch versus when I'm doing my own shit because there's more Image and stuff in there. We'll start at the bottom. For this week, we had Marvel was Iceman number 7 at the bottom. It was the champions tackle the fake Hollywood Sentinels. Bob meets another man and gets Lucky Bobby. I meant, what did I put, say Bob? Nobody calls him Bob. So he gets laid. He goes back to teach at the mansion and realizes he wants to go back to LA. I'm gonna fix that. It bothers me that I called him Bob. Bobby. This was kind of a letdown because I didn't start with Iceman and I just got in because I wanted to see the champions again. And it ended up being more like a relationship book, even like his friends supporting him, the champions supporting him in this relationship, than an actual champions let's mourn the death of Black Widow like I was hoping for. And I didn't jump on the new Iceman, I think, because of it. I think it's the same writer. And I liked this writer before. He used to, what did he write? It's going to drive me crazy now. I'm going to look him up. I think his name is Cena Grace. And he did something for Image that I really liked. But I have to find it. There's a couple of series of Iceman. Cena Grace. So we're using our comic base here. It says Searching for Issues by Cena Grace. And maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I think I am. Because what else has he done is at least has Burn the Orphanage. and books with pictures, and all new X-Men. So I don't know. And some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle adventures. Self-obsessed. So I'm wondering if I'm thinking of somebody else. I thought I was thinking of there's a comic book about like a guy with God, I can't think of his name. He's got a smiley face, and he's not meant to have a facial expression, but everybody else in the comic book has a facial expression, and I can't think of it what it is, but I love that book. And I thought it was Cena Grace, and it's not. And I'm drawing a blank on what it's called. It's very much written in the vein of a slice of life type comic. But like a guy that's just down on his luck and making it day by day and falls in love with the girl. And oh man, I can't think of the damn title. But I can picture the images in my head. I read them all and I really like it. But it's not Cena Grace, so let's move on. So we then get into Sleepless number one. This is an illegitimate princess loses her father, the king, and the brother takes over. Someone is out to kill her. The next one as a 3 out of 5 is the Archies, number one. After their first gig is a success, the Archies struggle with how to survive. Leads them to a road trip with no money because Ronnie's car does not work. And it stars Churches, or as I like to call them, Traverches, which is an alternative band you'll hear a lot. We have 3 out of 5. The last one is Judas, number 1 and 2, Jude from Boom Studios. We got Judas contemplates what led him to betraying Jesus, and then ends up in purgatory with some sort with Lucifer and others who God betrayed. So everybody that God betrayed, like Lucifer and all these other people that are in there with him, are with Judas. So it's an interesting perspective on religion. I might like it more when I finish it. I don't know. It depends, because I do like religious takes on comics and how they're interpreted. We got the 4 out of 5 Defenders Annual number 1. Nebulon and the Headmen have conflicting but similar goals and collide with the Defenders. Nebulon leaves once. Doctor Strange convinces him humans need to have their free will, and the Defenders defeat the Headmen when they break up into teams. The Headmen's such a weird group, man. Oof. And then Nebulon was kind of like godlike, so it was a very interesting story. We have Defenders 41. Doctor Strange and Kyle go after an old lover of Nighthawk's with a missing arm. Patricia Starr helped build a community in a desert and then freaked out when she could not channel her creative energies. Find out that an old Doctor Strange villain, Shazana, is behind it and traps the two heroes in a cube that can't be shattered or it will kill them. The rest of the Defenders come to the rescue. And if I'm thinking right, Defenders 41, I love the cover just because I bought this one off. It has the Hulk, and he's like jumping with his fist. He's like, "Row!" And he's gonna smash this cube, and Nighthawk and Doctor Strange are in the cube. And oh man, the Defenders meant so much to me as a kid. That all these images and all these covers just bring so much excitement. I love the comics. Ah, Defenders. We got Jughead the Hunger, Volume 2, Number 1. They had a one-shot before this. The Reggie Mantle is taken to a hospital for an animal attack. Jughead tries to exist at a circus, but he knows he turns into a werewolf and had killed several of his friends. Archie and Betty are looking for him with her cousin. Reggie changes and goes after Veronica as a werewolf. I've enjoyed this werewolf story. I think I'm on issue 6 now, but this was number 1 and it was a 4 out of 5. We then go into Kong on the Planet of the Apes. The apes discover a large ape right after the events of the first Planet of the Apes movie. So this takes place after the first movie. The streets are in turmoil as Cornelius and crew have caused a stir that led the apes to feel sympathy for humans. Can't have that. Zaius thinks they can reunite if they discover the history behind the large ape, and they are off to Skrull Island because they actually find like the remains of a huge ape skull, and this kind of leads them on this journey. We have Justice League 3001, number 10 and 11 at 4 out of 5. We have Ice, Fire, and Supergirl fight scavenger creatures. They work for Larfleeze. Gnort is even in this, tells the heroes that he is Larfleeze's cousin. That's very interesting. I wonder if that's still in continuity. I bet no. That's a good trivia question. Who is a relative of Gnort? If you guys remember Gnort from Justice League International, the dog-like Green Lantern. Wonder Woman, Flash, and this is Flash as a woman, and Robin, which is a girl, fight the convert only to realize he can move bodies and takes over Wonder Woman. Lady Strix is playing with all of them and only keeping them alive because it entertains her. Lois goes and finds Sinestro, who is working at a strip club that he owns. Supergirl and crew are working for Larfleeze to go after Lady Styx. Eclipso mounts an attack on Leaguers on behalf of Lady Styx. This is fantastic storytelling, man. This series by DeMatteis and Giffen, highly recommended. Justice League 3001, very underrated series. Check it out. We then go into Superman 301, 302, 307 through 309. This was me reading some old issues of Superman. I love when I go over a list like this and see what I was into the mood for. I don't know why I went down this tangent, but Solomon Grundy is tired of fighting Flashes and Green Lanterns of the two Earths and wishes himself, get this, he just wishes himself, I wish I was on another Earth to meet my counterpart. And it just happens because that's comics. He can move from Earth 2 to Earth 1 by wishing it. He just wants it bad enough. Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday. He then fights Superman. Superman manages to get him and place him on the moon. Luthor makes Superman grow in size in the next story as time goes on. Superman has to utilize the help from Ray Palmer, the Atom, to trick Luthor and restore his size. Superman goes against corporations that are polluting our environment and giving people cancer. Supergirl realizes he is going to the extreme and convinces him he is not from Krypton, but he is given powers by nuclear means. This is so messed up. She convinces Superman that. He starts destroying his Krypton heritage. He fights two villains that are for the pollution, Radion and the Protector. You got to use those characters again. He defeats them and then goes into space with Supergirl to defeat an alien race that multiplies. Supergirl tries to explain why she lied to him. Clark has two love interests, Lois and another fan of his newscast as Clark. So he has two love interests at the time. That's not Superman either. That's Clark has two love interests, Lois, and then there's that stalker girl that loves him in his newscast. God, these comics should have been a 5 out of 5. I loved them. Slots number 4, an old boxer this is from Image Comics, if you're wondering. An old boxer that scams people is going back to Vegas to help a friend whose daughter is leaving her mom, and she is in the cash cow of entertainment at her casino. He has to try to stop it from happening, so goes to an old friend and asks him to set up a fight so he can win because he's an ex-boxer. He runs into his actual son. It's a good story. And then get into the Clone Saga again. I read Spider-Man. This is the last 4 out of 5. Spider-Man Funeral for an Octopus. It's a Clone Saga tie-in. Follows up after the death of Doc Ock, and Spider-Man goes to his funeral. His cousin lawyer is left with all of Doc Ock's scientific discoveries, but he has to recruit the Sinister Six to go after the arms as they were taken away from him. Scarlet Spider has a run-in with the young Vulture and leads him to Electro and Mysterio. Peter deals with the news that Mary Jane is pregnant and is saddened by Doc Ock's death because he did save his life from the Vulture venom. Oh god, that was a Clone Saga is so underrated. People are so crazy for hating that. There's so many good things in that story arc. Some of the best comics in Spider-Man are in this arc. Not all of them are great, but some of them are just wonderful. The Doc Ock stuff, top-notch. The Aunt May stuff, top-notch. Oh, man. And then she was pregnant. Oh, my God. The further event, we then get into the 5 out of 5s. These two were from Image Comics. The Further Adventures of Nick Wilson, number one. A former superhero is now playing children's gigs when he lost his powers. He gets into a car accident with his agent and then goes on a date with a former girlfriend. This was fun. A lot of fun. The final 5 out of 5 was Days of Hate. Two females have a great life together, and then a civil war happens. This is like a post-apocalyptic thing. One becomes radical against terrorism, and they get into a fight. The other loses the child they were having together when she is pushed. Many years later, the one is still fighting terrorism with terrorism, and the other is recruited by the government to go after her ex-wife. Doesn't that sound fantastic? Ha, huh, it is. It's well worth the adventure. You should check it out. So then we get into February 5th through February 12th. This week we had 25 comics, one from Titan, three from Valiant, one from Marvel, one from Fantagraphics. I think it's Fantagraphics. I don't have this one in my database. I bought it like from Amazon. I can look it up. I wonder if it's in my database. I doubt it. Celebrated Summer. This is a Charles Forsman one. The End of the Fucking World guy that's on Netflix. Celebrated. Yeah, it's not in here, and I didn't add it. So that's why that I don't know what company it is. I think it's Fantagraphics. We got DC 19. So that was a total of 25 comics. We'll start at the bottom at the 3 out of 5s. We have Batman number 40. Wonder Woman and Batman still fighting the Horde for the Gentlemen. They did not have sex in all those years. Catwoman tracks the Gentlemen with his lover, saying goodbye as he goes back to fight the Horde. So they swap places again. Batman and Wonder Woman in that altered dimension fighting these Hordes. Now he's going back in his place as he had free time. And then he got a little bit of rest from Batman and Wonder Woman. Now he goes back and now has to fight the internal Horde. Catwoman says next time he needs a break, she will go with him to fight the Horde instead of Wonder Woman. A little jealousy, maybe? I don't know. 3 out of 5. Celebrated Summer, graphic novel. Two guys drop acid and take a trip to the beach and then go back with their lives. It's a crazy wild story by Charles Forman, and you can expect that in all of his books. You could expect depression, craziness, and drugs in a Charles Forsman book. but a good story, and there's a lot of depth. The End of the Fucking World is a... I haven't read the comic yet, but I've read everything else from him. I have that hardback. I just bought it. It's only Charles Forsman I haven't read. But I have watched the Netflix series, and the Netflix series blew me the fuck away, man. I loved it. We then have... I hear it's coming back, too. I don't know how it's going to come back, but I hear it's coming back for a second season. It very much does have a beginning, middle, and end, so I don't know what they're going to do with that. We have the last 3 out of 5, Superman, Wonder Woman, 9 through 12... and annual number one. This is the Doom crossover event where Superman has become Doomsday and Brainiac was involved. Cyborg Superman versus the Justice League, Steel, and the others. Superman gets back to Earth and returns back to normal after they get rid of the kryptonite mist. The other story deals with a plant that Superman gave Wonder Woman, and it gets out of control when not fed oil. They eventually get the help from Swamp Thing and get the situation under control. Superman, Wonder Woman, and then we get into the 4 out of 5s, and I divided some of these out. I guess as the series went on, I started to enjoy it more. We get Superman, Wonder Woman 13 and 15. A new hero arrives to help the Atomic Skull and Major Disaster, and it is Wonderstar. He does not remember who he is or where he came from, and asks the two heroes to train him. As he is with them, he loses control and appears to be Magog. Yeah, Magog. You remember Magog? Kingdom Come Magog. Magog fights with Superman and Wonder Woman, and Cersei joins the fray. That was fun. We then get into Wonder Woman 44 through 52. This led me to finish the New 52 before Rebirth started. Even though I had already started reading Rebirth, I wanted to finish the old series. Yeah, I get behind and I get distracted, and sometimes I jump forward and then jump back, and this is a case of that. I really enjoyed this run. This was I want Meredith Finch, and I was impressed with it. I was very impressed with Miss Meredith. It had David Finch artwork in it. I enjoyed it. This was Wonder Woman is searching for Donna Troy. It turns into a battle with an eerie goddess of peace. Her first appearance is in 45. She is angry because when Wonder Woman became the god of war, she offset the balance between peace and war. She showed Donna why they have to be in a balance. She captured Zeke, that's the baby. And during the battle with Zeke touches Donna, she resurrects Apollo and Ares. Eerie takes off. I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it. It's Irene, Eirene takes off. 47 Cheetah. I wonder why I said that. 47. Where did that come from? Cheetah invades Paradise Island to obtain the Eye of Antinope, which keeps the Amazons young, and I'm horrible at these Greek names, so please forgive me. The conflict of Cheetah's god and the eye causes her to revert back to Barbara Minerva, and she throws it back into the temple. Oh, I know what 47. 47 was the comic number. I meant 47 is that's what happened. It wasn't 47 Cheetahs. 48 is an issue with Dr. Poison issue, where she goes after the President of the United States for revenge on America and how they betrayed her parents to the KGB. Zeke is very ill on Olympus. Wonder Woman captures Dr. Poison, but she escapes. When Zeke touched Donna Troy, she now has the power of the three fates. There is a story where she sees what happens if she saves the young boy, and it plays out the boy dies when robbing a back. When robbing a back, but this goes free three women that were enslaved. I don't know what I meant there. I can't even comprehend, but it plays out. The boy dies when robbing a bank. What the hell am I doing? Gotta learn to spell. And I don't type this in Word, believe it or not. I use Notepad, so that's why things are all jacked up. Maybe I should switch. Zeke is sick with Donna, has to find a cure, so she seeks out Gia, only to find a witch, Hellkite, who says she must steal three orbs from Hera's pool. She sees things that look very twisted on Olympus, especially for the Cyclops. She works to free the entities that Zeus imprisoned when they took power from the Titans. Wonder Woman has to go through a Tartarus pit, where she sees many hallucinations of her past and present. She runs into Hera and they escape. Hellcat and Zeke is going to sacrifice him to bring back Zeus, who she loves. Zeke passes, I don't know what I meant by that, and Zeus is restored back to Olympus. Zeke passes, maybe dead, maybe he died. Sola is on Paradise Island trying to cope with the loss of her son. Yeah, that's what I meant by passes. He dies. That's what I'm going to replace it with. Zeke dies and Zeus is restored back to Olympus. Sola on Paradise Island trying to cope with the loss of her son. Wonder Woman feels that she failed, and Hellcat wants to be back with her love Zeus, but he is with Hera again. This was a long read, but I captured the entire story, and I really did enjoy that arc. We then get into Babylon Berlin graphic novel. This was a thick bitch, man. This was a hardcover that came out from Titan. It's under the Hard Case Crime imprint. That's really why I bought it. I've been buying all the Hard Case Crime. A new detective investigates a murder, which leads him to finding gold from a Russian countess. His partner is in a corrupt cop who is looking for the same thing. The next one is a Valiant book, Eternity Number 3. Divinity and his wife fight an alien race to get their son back, but they say their son needs to fulfill his prophecy. We then get into a Marvel book, Falcon Number 1. Falcon and Patriot go to Chicago to help stop a gang war. When they get both gangs to agree to a peaceful meeting, it becomes chaos. Blackheart is one of the gang's leaders. A Blackheart you'll probably remember from Ghost Rider. We then get into another 4 out of 5 with Justice League 3001, number 12, the finale. Cersei's back to recap the Wonder Twins, Terry Flash and Terry Eclipso. They're the two twins in the future. One is now Flash, a female Flash, and one is Eclipso, which is very interesting from how the series started. Leads to one final battle, but the book is canceled before the story could wrap up, so they do so in a couple of pages. Flash and Robin get placed in our time. The final battle is ne never really concluded, and Larfleeze comments why he was not in the book as expected. So I'm thinking, man, they really wanted to do this to be a 16-issue arc, or were promised a 16-issue arc, and they had to just shove it all into one issue. And they did it in kind of a humorous way, knowing how Giffen and DeMatteis are. Larfleeze speaking to you as the reader and trying to tell you, hey, I'm not in the book because I was supposed to be in the book, but I'm not. A really good series, though. Well worth your time. Even though the ending is very abrupt, the journey is what it's about, and the journey is very, very good. We then get into Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe number 1. I enjoyed this. A lot of people gave it shit. This spawned out a web series. I watched the first two and kind of lost interest, so I guess that tells you waited like 3 years for this web series to start, and then it started and I was underwhelmed. But they came out with the comic, and I thought the comic book was fairly good. I enjoyed it. What is it? Let's say, in order to save Neville's wife and daughter, Ninjak must steal something from headquarters for Raku. He is in the run with, he has a run-in with Neville, Livewire, and Capshaw, Colonel Capshaw, that is. We then get to the last 4 out of 5, which is Bloodshot Salvation number 5. Bloodshot still has no nanites and is getting beaten to death. Gate sends Ninjak to help, and he does. Ray kills Daddy. That is Bloodshot kills Daddy. Daddy is the creepy father of magic. Meanwhile, Ray's daughter is dying in the distant future. Punk Mambo is talking to Ray on the dead side with magic. Really good series. Recommend that Bloodshot. I recommend all Valiant books. I think they're just go on that journey, the Bloodshot journey. Start with the very first Bloodshot Jeff Lemire book and work your way forward. If you really want something different, you can go back to the 90s and you get the mafia guy that turned into Bloodshot. But if you want something like a psychological thriller with blood squirt and stuff and violence and a crazy journey, do Jeff Lemire's Bloodshot. He'll be worth your time. Yeah, that was for that week, and I want to thank you for listening again. My name is Michael Myers, like from Halloween, even spelled the same. And you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch, spelled like the guy from Halloween, MYERS, at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. You can follow me, send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And you can go to the website at Geek Brunch Podcast, where you will find glorious podcasts like Mike M's Collector's Corner, Mike M's Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch, and Geek Brunch Retrocast, all on the same feed, and you will get 3 to 4 podcasts a week. And that's lots of hours because I talk a lot. So you will definitely get at least one day's worth of me talking into your ear. And on Facebook, you can even get a hold of me if you go to Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there. I want to encourage you at any time to send me topics. Send me what you're excited about. I'll go over them on the episode. I'll comment on them. Send me questions because they provide ammunition for future shows at the first part of the show, because you know what the first part of the show is. If anything goes, the second part of the show is the weekly reads. And I hope you enjoyed this, and we will talk to you very soon. Again, this is Mike, and I appreciate you listening and listening to my jibber jabber in my diary. I actually enjoy talking to myself because I get to see what I did very many months ago. It refreshes my memory as I get older. I'll talk to you later. Peace out.